Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. It was good to hear the testimonies of what God is doing in the hearts and lives of people. It's always been a real joy for me to be a witness of a changed life. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. And you know, for anyone here that has not experienced that, as the three of them testified today of peace and joy, they experienced something that they thought they could have in their flesh. They thought that they could find fulfillment in the things of this world. And it let them down. It was empty. It left them with many scars, many regrets. And you don't have to have that, friends. And if you do have that, you can come and you can find rest. You can experience that peace and that joy that we get to experience. This morning, as I was just meditating on what to share here, I was thinking of on the same lines of what Nate was sharing about encouraging us to finish, to not give up. To not give up. Run that race. Cross the finish line. Don't focus on your failures. Focus on the one who can forgive you and give you grace and victory from your failures. Focus on Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the one who has all the answers for our needs. Let Him be your focus, not your failures. Get up. Run that race. I was encouraged, brother. Thank you for sharing those thoughts with us. This morning I was thinking of thankfulness. It seems to be, unthankfulness seems to be a root in many of our problems in life. And thankfulness is a good remedy to overcome a lot of our struggles in life. So before I begin, we'll have a word of prayer, and then I'll share a few thoughts on thankfulness, and we'll try not to take too long today with a full schedule. So let's pray. Eternal Father, Lord, we come to You in Jesus' name. Father, You know that we are here to worship You. We're here, Lord, because You've allowed us this opportunity to come. We're here, Father, because of we have tasted, many of us have tasted of Your goodness, and we want more. We want to continue to walk and live there, Lord, where we keep feeding and drinking from that fountain of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, for giving us new life. Thank You for forgiveness of sins. Thank You, Father, for removing our sins as far as the east is from the west and choosing to remember them no more. Father, I do thank You again for this opportunity to gather. Lord, I pray that as I share a few thoughts here, that it could inspire someone to be thankful, to continue to look up to You, to rise above the discouragements that we face in life, to get up and keep running that race. Father, thank You, and I pray You give me some clear thoughts here, Lord, and it would bring You glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. You know, as Donna was just sharing a testimony here, and she didn't have that fullness of joy when she wasn't in the presence of God, when she had a secret life. But when she came to the Lord and just confessed and opened her life up to the Lord, she can experience, and she's experienced a fullness of joy in His presence. That should create a thankfulness in each one of our hearts. The memory verse this morning: "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Hallelujah. That's a wonderful reason for us to be thankful today, for the deliverance that we have in Christ Jesus. He came to deliver us, to set us free from our sin. You know, one reason I was encouraged to share some thoughts on thankfulness is because as I go through life, sometimes I find myself challenged with that, and being thankful and seeing the positive things in life. You know, some people look at a cup and it's at the half line. And some will say, that's half empty. Others will say, that's half full. In a negative sense, it's like, for me, it's like, that's half empty. It's like almost gone. It's like not much left. And others can look at it and say, that's half full. There's a lot of opportunity there yet. And it's an upbeat outlook on it. And I tend to be looking at the cup that it's more half empty. Trying to find the blessings in life sometimes can be difficult. But I found a perfect antidote for that is giving thanks. Giving thanks for everything. It's one of the most wonderful remedies for discouragement, is to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That's the heart of God for us, that in everything we give thanks. It says everything. Do you ever face a deep challenge in life? A battle that, how or am I ever going to get through this? What's going to be the outcome here? And you just feel pretty beat down. How am I going to keep going? But in that too, he says, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. We have so much to be thankful for. And so my encouragement today is that I could encourage you to keep on. Don't quit. Don't come to a point in life and say, I'm done. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Hallelujah. You know, this should create a thankfulness in us. We're not on our own. We should be thankful that we're not on our own. He says he'll show us the path of life. And if we stay in his presence, we can experience fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Yeah, things might not always be rosy and cheery looking, but we can still experience that peace and fullness of joy in Christ. We can. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. In everything, give thanks. Everything. Not the things that you want to choose to give thanks in, but everything. And it will change our outlook in life. It'll change our outlook in life. Here's an example of one of those things to give thanks for, and one of those times to give thanks in. Matthew 5:11-12 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He says, "To rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." If there's an opportunity to not give thanks, I think that would be one in the flesh. I'm being persecuted. Life's just not going well for me. But he says, rejoice, be exceeding glad. And that to me don't just That puts a lot of emphasis on it in my mind. Gives more of a picture of almost jumping for joy. Be exceeding glad. But it's sometimes it's very difficult to give thanks in difficult times. But we can. We can. So it doesn't matter if your cup, if you look at your cup as half full or half empty, thanksgiving is still the appropriate thing for us. Going through life and discouraged, thanksgiving. And we're rejoicing, we're happy, just continue to give thanks. It's what we need in life. It's not always our first instinct to give thanks. Our flesh always wants to look at negative things in life. This mountain is way too big. How can I ever get over this one? This situation is way too big. How are we ever going to get through that one? We can give thanks. How did the children of Israel win some of their battles? Did they not sing one time? Sing? Praises unto our King, and they won a battle? We can win battles by singing and praising God. I have the example of Paul here. Just some thoughts of as I was just looking at, he wrote many letters. And I marvel that in front of most of his letters, he gives thanks. In front of most of them, he gives thanks. In Romans 1:8, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." It wasn't just something he was thanking God for himself, but he even gave thanks on the behalf of others. "I thank God for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." 1 Corinthians 1:4, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus." He says, "I thank my God always." In the second epistle, he and in Galatians, I don't think that you can read that he gave a word of thanks. Instead, he was reprimanding them. Ephesians 1:16, "Cease not to give thanks for you." Paul said, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Continually giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians 1:1, verse 2. "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." 2 Thessalonians 1:3. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." He says, we are bound to thank God always for you. 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Again, giving God thanks. 2 Timothy 1:3, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." Colossians 1:3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Philippians 1:3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Titus, he greeted him with a very thankful heart as his own son. And Philemon, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers." Always giving thanks. I was thinking of, along with thanksgiving, is praying. Thanking God and praying. And that's something I was challenged with. It's like, he said, "Every time I think of you guys, I'm thankful for you, and I pray for you guys." And I want to have more of that heart. More of that heart. Paul, he rejoiced when he suffered persecution and imprisonments and all those things. He counted it joy. We could read of many instances of giving thanks, but I want to encourage us that if you're discouraged today, try that. Try that remedy of giving thanks. And as you give thanks, as you're thanking God for all those things that you do have,
all those things that are going well. As you're doing that, pray. Pray for others. Pray for those that you think of. And it'll change the dynamic of your life. It'll change the outlook of life. Instead of being heavy-hearted and hardly being able to go on, we can find strength because we're excited about what God is doing and what He has done. It's about Him now. It's not about me, not about my situation. Because, to be honest, our situations, if we focus on them, they're bigger than us. They're bigger than us. But if we go to God, we find strength. We find fresh courage to go through it. Those mountains that we're climbing, without God, we're looking at some of the biggest mountains on earth. And then with God, yeah, the mountain's still there, but wow, it looks like I'll be able to run across that one. Because we gain courage and strength through Him. He's the one that helps us. He'll help us through those times. I was thinking, David, he was a man that was full of thanksgiving and praise. You read the Psalms, and they're just full of thanksgiving and praise. I marvel at that. I actually didn't go to the book of Psalms for a lot of my scriptures because we would have ran way out of time. Because David is always praising and thanking God. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Isn't that something to be thankful for? To serve a God that is that good? He endures unto all generations. He is good to us. He's merciful to us. His mercy is everlasting. His truth is enduring. There's no end to it. You won't exhaust it. You won't wear it out. We can go to Him. We can give thanks to Him. We can bless His name. But you know, it tells us that when we come to the presence of God, that we should come with thanksgiving. We should enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. I want to have more of that heart. To be a man that is very thankful, a man that is full of praise. I can enter His gates with thanksgiving, and I can enter His courts with praise. I want to be more like that instead of entering His courts with heaviness. Sure, we do have that. But let's enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And then let's tell Him about our troubles. See if that won't change maybe our attitude, our outlook in life. David seemed to have learned the importance of coming to God in thanksgiving and praise. As you read Psalms, you can see that David had high value on coming to God with thanksgiving and praise. He learned something. There's a strength in that. That's something I'm trying to still learn. But I do find a great strength when I come to God with thanksgiving and praise. David wasn't faultless, but his heart was turned after God. His heart was turned after God. And also another thing we can learn from the life of David, that when David became unthankful, David became discontent with what he had, trouble was at the door. Almost every time, trouble was at the door. And you know, being discontent, being unthankful is sin. We are called to give God thanks and praise. It is sin for us to be unthankful. It says in 2 Timothy 3, in the first part, it talks about the coming apostasy, the great falling away. And it talks about men. They're going to be all these other things, disobedient to parents. And it says they're going to be unthankful. They're going to be unholy. It's a sin for us to be unthankful. We have so much to be thankful for. We can often see David. He was. He would come to God. He would come to God in prayer. He'd come to God with a heavy heart. He'd say, "Oh God, woe is me. We're in trouble here, God. The enemy's around us. We're in big trouble. There ain't no hope for us here." And he would go on and on. And all of a sudden, you just keep reading the chapter. Nothing changed yet. David's still talking to God. And he said, nothing changed yet. And all of a sudden, the tenor of his prayer just changes. And he starts thanking God for who God is, how great he is, and what he can do for us. And then he starts praising God for what he has done for him. "You have delivered us out of the hand of these enemies." Wait a minute. Nothing changed yet. This is still David at that time of prayer. But you see his heart posture changed. Instead of sitting there focusing on the big problem, he focused on God, giving God thanks and praise. And he saw, you know what? This problem, God's going to take care of that one too. There's a victory waiting for us here too. It's here for us. And he praised God for that. But yet nothing had changed at the present time. And I believe one of David's reasons for being so strong in the Lord was because of his thanksgiving and praise, his crying out to God and praising him for his help. Having his heart turned to God, knowing that that is where my answer is. That is where my help comes from. And that is who deserves all glory and honor and praise. In Romans 1, let's read a portion there for us. Unthankfulness leads to unbelief. It leads to unholiness because we don't have God in the forefront of our lives anymore. It's not this gratitude. It's not this thankfulness to God. It's this grumbling, this murmuring. It leads to unholiness. You know, the children of Israel, they're a wonderful example for us to consider as they went through that journey in the wilderness. God did many, many marvelous miracles for them. And sometimes in the past, I've sat there and scratched my head like, how could you murmur and complain if you just witnessed water coming from a rock? If you just witnessed the entire Egyptian army being drowned? You just witnessed going across that body of water on dry land. You just witnessed that. And how can you complain? How can you murmur? But you know, friends, those of us that have experienced the goodness of God, we've witnessed a miracle of changed lives. We've seen drunkards turn to God and come clean that couldn't. We've seen drug addicts delivered. We've seen religious men trying on their own strength say, "I can't do this. I need God. I need to do it through Jesus." We've seen that. Those are miracles. And yet, we've experienced some of that ourselves, and yet, we can become unthankful. We can become disgruntled. Why do I got to go through all these troubles for? Why? Why me? But God wants us to not focus on that. Let's focus on Him, who has delivered us and who will still yet continue to deliver us as we go through life. We can learn from the children of Israel. They needed water. They needed food. Then they said, oh, you just brought us out here to kill us. And God did miracle after miracle after miracle. You know, unthankfulness leads to unbelief. It leads to unholiness. Let's look at a few things that an unthankful heart will produce. An unthankful heart doesn't acknowledge God. Will not acknowledge God in everything. Doesn't embrace that God's hand is over his life. Let's see where to jump in here. Paul gives thanks. He gives thanks and offers up prayers on the behalf of the church there. And I'm just going to start in verse 18 and read a number of the verses here. And in all these, I believe if we're a thankful people, we can stay away from falling into these things. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the visible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See how unthankfulness takes you to vain imaginations, and it darkens our foolish hearts, because it's foolishness to be unthankful. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Reprobate, void of understanding. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Whisperers is gossip. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Because they were unthankful. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. They didn't retain God in their knowledge. And all these things are fruits of unthankfulness. Unthankfulness, not acknowledging God. Unthankfulness leads to unholiness. And you know, unthankfulness, my encouragement to us is that we wouldn't come to a place where we're done. We quit. We get discouraged. Let's be a thankful people. Let's be a people that praise God for all that we go through. Even those things that don't always feel good. Those things that are difficult. Let's thank God for those too. Because he's trying to do something for us in our lives. Let's keep our focus on the one who can help us instead of focusing on the problem that we're facing. You know, dads, sometimes maybe you get discouraged in life. It seems like all you do is you get up, you go to work. You might have your devotions or however your morning goes, but your daily routine, just get up, go to work, come home. Life just seems to be full and ongoing, and it's just wearing you down. And sometimes you don't feel appreciated. Sometimes you don't, you know, maybe you feel like you could use a thank you and you just don't get it. You just feel like your life is just, this is all life has for me. I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged. Just keep on. Keep on pressing on. Keep on teaching. Keep on leading your home. Don't stop. Part of that leading your home is providing for it. That's all right to go to work. Make time for your family. Be there for them. Don't stop. Be there for your wife. Maybe why you think she don't appreciate what all you do for her, maybe it's because she's got a full plate herself. There's a lot of things that our wives do and that we don't think about that keep the home going, keep the home functioning. Just keep on. Keep blessing your wife. Support her. I had to think of Achan. He's a man that was told the ways of God. He was told how to follow God. Thank you. He was told how to follow God, but he chose to not do that. He chose to quit. He chose to give up on what God set before him. That was his decision. He chose that. And look what happened to his family. It was total destruction. And you know, today, we can see that as well. When we see dads that just quit, they won't give any more direction at home. They won't lead out. They won't provide. They're not there to support their wives. The home falls apart. It's destruction. The enemy is winning. I want to encourage us, don't give up. But rather, look at Job. He went through a lot. But at the beginning of Job, you read these words that he rose up to sanctify his children. And so you read what he was doing there. He offered sacrifices for him. He was praying for him. He says, there's perchance one of them might have sinned. And so he was interceding for them. And you know, we as dads, we can do that today. We can intercede for them. Be prayerful for our family. Instead of getting overwhelmed and quitting, just keep on. Keep praying. Keep seeking God on their behalf. You know, moms, you've got a wonderful opportunity to affect your home in a positive way. You have one of the greater influences in your home. Don't get tired and don't quit. I know it's a daily routine. A lot of times you do the same things over and over. You get up, you make breakfast. Some of you homeschool. You do that. You got laundry to do. You keep the house clean. And then it's time for lunch. Then it's time for supper. I know the little one, he needs you. And by the way, you're the only one that can meet his needs. That's a challenge that we're going through right now. My little guy he's a mama baby right now. And that's the only place he's happy. But that wears him out. So try to do your part as a dad to come alongside and alleviate that. Do what you can. But moms, if you quit, the home becomes dysfunctional. It becomes dysfunctional. You're a central part of that hub that makes that work. Find a place to give thanks. To give thanks for God has you. To give thanks for your husband. Give thanks for your children. To give thanks for everything you do. Find that place. Have a vision for a godly home. And then you'll look out there. And you have a vision. You keep pressing on. You keep giving God thanks. All these problems, we deal with them, but we can keep going on. Because we have a vision. We have a goal. Take courage. Keep doing what you're called to do. God's blessing will be on you. Just thinking of you, youth and children, you can get discouraged too. You can. I know you can. But don't quit. Don't quit. Have a purpose in your life. Your purpose should be to bring God the fullness of glory and honor that you're able to. And staying surrendered, walking in humility before Him, and taking and receiving direction from your family, from your dad and mom. Oftentimes, young people, you guys know better than us as parents. And as time goes on, most young people realize dad and mom weren't quite as far off as they thought they were. I just want to encourage you, don't be too forward in that way. Have humility, respect, and honor. And God will use you. God will use you. But don't quit. You have a lot of young children looking up to you. I know you do. I know of names that get mentioned that we're looking up to so-and-so. They're a blessing. That's a high calling for you as young people. You can embrace it and bless many people. Or you can get frustrated and tired and quit. But I want to encourage you, don't quit. You know, those two sons that were working for their father, and the one come and said, hey, I'd like to have my inheritance right now. And he went off and spent it foolishly. That son quit. He quit. He said, I give up. I don't want to live life on this farm. It's too hard. I quit. I'm out of here. And he went and he blew it all. The regrets in his life, he probably couldn't count them all. But he ended up in a pig pen feeding pigs. Feeding pigs, hungry. Thinking, boy, I'd eat some of that. That'd fill my stomach right now. And all of a sudden he thought, you know what? My dad has something. My dad has servants that live better than I do. He came to his senses. He repented and went back. That son found life again, but not without many, many regrets in life. And you know, friends, you don't have to quit. God don't want you to quit. If you fall, get up. Finish the race. Keep running. Your daddy won't be more proud of you than when you cross that finish line than he will if you just quit and walk away. He doesn't care in what order you finish. You might have started out first and you come pretty tattered and beaten in your last. Your daddy won't care. He'll be the proudest man there. Don't quit. Keep your focus in God and give thanks. You guys have so much to be thankful for. You have so much to be thankful for. You have so many privileges in life. And when your privileges sometimes get removed in life, just give thanks. Give thanks and you'll find a blessing. I was thinking of giving thanks in difficult challenges. I've a young man that I know real well. He had one bad eye that he couldn't really see much out of. He had one good eye. And on a construction site with an accident that something hit him in his good eye. And so now today, he's got two bad eyes. He couldn't stand here and see you today, where not long ago he could. And I was challenged with the report that I got from this young man, that he's actually still joyful. He still gives thanks to God. It's like, wow, I went from seeing to blind, nearly blind. He can see sometimes some shapes, but he can't read. And he used to read his Bible. He used to read his Bible to his siblings. He can't do that anymore. I was thinking of just giving thanks. That challenged me. That young man gives thanks today for what he's going through. And sometimes we go through some very, very minor things and we can't give thanks. We get upset. We say, I'm done. I'm out of here. We can give thanks. You haven't even got close to experiencing the worst. You haven't. You're one of the privileged. You're one of the privileged that get to have a home that you live in. The majority actually don't live this way. Learn to lay down yourself and learn from your parents. Learn to be a pillar in your home to where when you're at home, there's joy. Learn to be there and be that one that creates a joyful atmosphere. Instead of the one, I can't do that. They won't let me go and I'm just all upset and bent out of sorts. No. You're not even fun to have in the house at that time. I'm just being honest. There's no fun there. Learn to be that person that can embrace that and still be a joy in the home. We can be that way. God gives us strength to do that. Let's remember to come into His presence with thanksgiving and praise. In every situation, we must glorify God, knowing that His grace is sufficient for each situation that we face. Knowing that we can learn something and we can grow from it, even though it may be painful. And when we don't keep our focus on God, we become discontent. We become unthankful in where God has us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but that the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The devil is trying to make us an unthankful people. An unthankful people will become an unholy people. And unthankfulness and unholiness will not spend eternity with God. Those will be part of the people that have apostatized. Friends, we can't afford to go to sleep. We can't afford to just somehow put our lives in airplane mode. You know, a lot of the things still function, but there's really no connection to the source of power. We can't afford to do that and go through life. We're gonna fall asleep. So we need to be alert. We need to, on purpose, we need to be very intentional on giving God thanks and praise in every situation. Because if we don't, we're gonna lose. And you know, it's going to be worth it all, living a life of thanksgiving and praise. Living a life of one that is free, that is open before God, giving thanks and praise. May God bless you all.